Radio Prague News. The Speaker of the Lower House of Parliament, Lubomír Zaorálek, has declared a state of legislative emergency. The Czech Hydrometeorological Institute has called off a state of flood alert. And a former secretary to the Czech Prime Minister has been charged with attempted fraud. The Speaker of the Lower House of Parliament, Lubomír Zaorálek, has declared a state of legislative emergency from April the 6th until April the 28th. The measure was proposed by the government to allow for the quick passing of laws necessary to free finances for flood relief. Instead of in several months, such laws could now be passed in just one day. The Czech Hydrometeorological Institute has called off a flood alert, which was supposed to last until Friday evening. The situation in much of the flood-affected areas in the Czech Republic is calming down, as most swollen rivers have begun to recede. People have started returning to their homes, though more heavy rain has been forecast for the end of the week. The number of reported flood-related deaths reached 7 on Wednesday, when the body of a 6-year-old boy who had been missing since Sunday was found in a river. The office of the Prague city attorney has said detectives from the anti-corruption unit have charged Zdeněk Doležel, former secretary to the Czech Prime Minister, with attempted fraud. The charges are related to the recent privatization of the Czech chemicals group Unipetrol. A report made public on Wednesday claims that suspicious personalities and former communist secret police agents have managed to slip through security screenings and acquire posts that bring them in contact with top-secret information. The shortcomings were uncovered during internal controls of the National Security Office vetting procedures from 1999 to 2002. The report was made public by the anti-corruption organization Pink Panther, who accused the then head of the office, Tomáš Kadlec, and other former members of management of abuse of power and deliberate manipulation with security screenings. The Kremlin plans to claim back property valued at $400 million that belonged to Imperial Russia and the Soviet Union but has remained abroad, the Czech Lidové Noviny newspaper writes. The former Czechoslovakia is named as one of the Central European countries in which the property can be found. The head of the Kremlin's property authority, Vladimir Kozin, says the property includes villas, land, factories and palaces. The Czech Foreign Ministry has not yet received an official request to return the property. And finally, a glance at the weather. We can expect partly cloudy skies in the next couple of days, with daytime temperatures reaching highs of 13 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and good day. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Jan Polkrovec, and I'll be your host for today's program. Coming up, in its efforts to stop the illegal dumping of German garbage in the Czech Republic, the Environment Ministry may have complicated an already messy situation. We'll tell you more about that. The Sokol Physical Training Organization has announced plans for its 14th All Sokol meeting this summer in Prague, and we'll bring you the details. A Czech World War II hero celebrates his 95th birthday, and Saturday is International Romani Day. That and more, so please stay tuned. In the past few months, the Czech Environment Ministry has been plagued by the problem of illegal waste imports into the Czech Republic. Since the beginning of the year, an estimated 20,000 tons of waste was brought in from Germany and just left lying in the open countryside or stored in a warehouse where it was often mysteriously set alight after the police started investigating. A decree which was introduced 2 weeks ago with the intention of curbing illegal waste imports has now had to been cancelled because it was doing more harm than good. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
The respective decree, which was in effect for just a fortnight, extended the list of waste products that could only be brought into the country with a permission of the Environment Ministry, among them second-hand clothing, plastic and paper. It was a stopgap measure that briefly curbed the tide of illegal waste, but at the same time it proved untenable long-term. The Environment Ministry's spokeswoman, Karolina Šulová, explains why it had to be cancelled.
Ta vyhláška se zrušila v podstatě ze dvou důvodů. Tím prvním důvodem bylo, že byla konzultovaná se zástupci.
It was cancelled for two reasons. One was that the European Commission pointed out that it was not fully in line with EU regulations dealing with the transport of waste. And the second was that it hurt Czech recycling firms. The border was jammed with lorries carrying recycling material which were waiting for permission to cross the border. So you could say that the decree hurt the legal importers more than the illegal ones.
Především se podepsala na těch legálních dovozcích, nikoli na těch nelegálních.
Now the Senate is close to approving a bill which should help the situation
with solving this problem yet, so that we will have to see whether is it sufficient or whether the government should come with more measures.
Even if the proposed bill is approved and proves effective, the country's efforts to prevent illegal waste imports could be seriously complicated if the European Union should decide to legalize trade in waste on EU territory. A debate on this is expected in the autumn, and the Czech Environment Ministry says it is determined to fight the proposed bill every step of the way. Vojtěch Kotecký from Friends of the Earth says a liberal waste policy would open the door to huge amounts of waste being shipped to this country from neighbouring Germany and Austria.
Waste should be dealt with in the place it was produced, and first of all, countries in the European Union should have a right to protect themselves against massive import of waste for burning, and should have right to reject such a trade.
You think as a poorer EU country, the Czech Republic would suffer?
Well, we have seen that this is a problem, and that German and Austrian companies are interested in this trade, and of course pollution and secondary waste from burning would remain in the Czech Republic, while those countries would get rid of their waste, which is at least unjust.
That was environmental activist Vojtěch Kotecký speaking to my colleague Daniela Lazarová about EU dumping policies. The Sokol Physical Exercise Organization, founded in 1862 during the Czech National Revival, is one of the oldest associations of its type in the world. Plans have just been announced for the 14th Všesokolský slet, or All Sokol meeting, a gigantic gathering which takes place every 6 years. 18,000 people are due to take part in the 2006 slet, which is being held in the first week of July at the Evgen Rošický Stadium in Prague's Strahov. The modern era of Sokol began with its revival after the fall of communism. Ian Willoughby spoke to the organization's Dr. Vladimír Dostál and asked him what shape it is in today.
Now we are talking, let's say, 15 or 16 years after the Velvet Revolution, so Sokol is now very popular, and I think one of the greatest sports and sports for all organization. We mustn't forget that it's also a cultural organization. At this time we have approximately 200,000 our members.
Around a tenth of them, about 20,000 people, are going to participate in July in the Sokol slet or meeting. How often is the slet held, and how important is it to the movement?
Traditionally, the slets are organized or have been organized in six-year periods. The last one was held in 2000. Now, in 2006, we organized the 14th one. Well, we are talking about a great mass of our members. We mustn't forget the rest of those who don't participate. But anyway, it's a certain milestone in our movement. Thousands of our gymnasts are preparing not only for the sled at Strahov, but for a regional, district and other smaller sleds which will be held before the sled in at Strahov.
A couple of years ago I went to the London Sokol, and I'm interested how many branches of Sokol are there outside the Czech Republic, and how many members are you expecting to come here in July for the next meeting or sled?
Well, we expect quite good participation from abroad, mainly from the so-called from the states with the traditional so-called organizations. I'm talking about American so-called, Canadian so-called, as well as from the Western Europe, namely so-called Paris, so-called Wien, and Serbian, and for example Slovenian so-called. Well, besides that, we expect the participants from non-SOCOL countries, as, for example, Spain, Portugal, Brazil, and many others.
SOCOL has been in existence for almost 150 years. What does the future hold for the organization, and is there enough interest from young people today to sustain the movement?
Also, general public sometimes thinks that SOCOL is only a traditional movement for older people, for seniors. The reality is rather different. We have, I don't know exactly the percentage, but great percentage of our members are youngsters, is youth.
That was Ian Willoughby talking to SOCOL's Dr. Vladimir Dostal. And you can find a link for the SOCOL website with information in English about July SLET on our website at www.radio.cz. As the Charles IV, Emperor by the Grace of God, exhibition continues in Prague Castle, visitors to the city are already able to gain an impression of art and culture during the reign of Charles IV, one of the golden ages of Czech history. But what was everyday life in Prague really like under one of the most famous Czech emperors? This is a question which a new exhibition accompanying the display of Gothic works in Prague Castle intends to answer. Chris Jarrett explains.
The 14th century brought great growth and prosperity to Prague. Following the accession of the Luxembourg family to the throne, John of Luxembourg and afterwards his son Charles IV set about transforming the Bohemian capital into a second Rome, with a vision of making it a centre of religion, politics and commerce with influence all over Europe. Now, a new exhibition opened in the Klam Gallas Palace in the Old Town explains how people in the Czech capital really lived at this time of great prosperity. Organised by the Prague City Archive in cooperation with the Museum of the City of Prague, it presents Gothic documents, books and relics from the period to give an impression of how the city operated. The display, entitled Prague Under the Luxembourgs, aims to expand on the current exhibition of Gothic art in Prague Castle, displaying the development of the city in terms of trade and politics during the Czech Golden Age. Miroslav Slenart is the Deputy Executive Director of Prague City Hall.
The idea is to show that Prague at the time was really the center of monarchy. Prague at the time was not a regional city, but Prague was the real capital not only of the Austro-Hungarian monarchy. The idea is to show that Prague was the real capital of Europe. At the time, Charles IV was the leading person in European politics, and our idea is to show that really Prague is full of history, everybody knows this, but the idea is to remind that Prague used to be the real capital of Europe.
The exhibition is divided into 9 sections, which examine the Luxembourg dynasty itself, the appearance of Prague at the time, the construction of the new town and the further expansions to the city built under Charles IV. It also covers the less pleasant aspects of town life at the time, including the various plagues, fires and floods which swept the city, to give an accurate picture of town life. Exhibits include the original writings of the emperor himself from the year 1347, in which he assures residents of the old town that construction of the new town would not infringe upon their rights as citizens. Miroslav Sklenar believes that the lives of Prague citizens under the Luxembourgs should be of interest to people today.
I think that both for inhabitants and both for the visitors of the city, for the citizens of Prague and of Czech Republic, it's the chance to show them we could be proud about our history. There is something really important. And for the visitors, they see the architecture here. Prague is a unique historical center of UNESCO. In the center, you could see all the style of architecture, so also to remind the visitors that Prague is not only a historical site and historical UNESCO heritage site, but it used to be also an important political center, and I think it's important nowadays.
That was Deputy Executive Director of Prague City Hall, Miroslav Sklenář, speaking to my colleague Chris Jarrett about the Prague Under the Luxembourgs exhibition, which you can see in Prague's Klam Galas Palace until the 4th of June. This week is a special one for the Czech military and Czechs remembering the events of the Second World War. František Peřina celebrates his 95th birthday on April 8th. One of the most famous Czech fighter pilots, František Peřina fought for his country in both France and England. Jan Wellinger has more.
František Peřina is without a doubt one of the Czech Republic's greatest war heroes, a veritable legend. Named the honorary rank of Major General in 2000, he shot down 12 enemy planes in the Second World War. Those were hits confirmed, though there were almost certainly more. He himself survived insurmountable odds in his most famous sortie, described at a special ceremony at the Chief of Staff headquarters in Prague this week.
Eight of my friends and fighters had taken off to deal with approaching bombers, but they didn't see the additional escort of 60 Messerschmitts. I had to help them, so I took off to gain them some time, and I could think of nothing other than to attack. I had to stop them somehow, so I attacked, and as a result, the leader banked left and the others followed, protecting each other. I told myself, enough. I had distracted them, and I even managed to shoot one down, but then I too was hit. My plane took 15 cannon hits and around 80 hits by machine gun. I got 18 fragments in my leg from a cannon shell, and my arm was also injured, although I didn't feel a thing. I knew I probably wasn't going to make it back, but I managed to land, and I was later hospitalized in a facility run by nuns from the local convent. I knew then the joke was over. Mr. Peřina's sacrifice for his country was considerable, but his wife Anna, who stayed behind in Czechoslovakia, also suffered, spending most of the war in a Nazi prison. To add grievous insult to injury, after the war her husband was thrown out of the Air Force by the communists and eventually forced to flee to the West with Anna to escape the wrath of Czechoslovakia's incoming totalitarian regime. World War II heroes were being sentenced to years of hard labor and even death. But Peřina left in a fashion typical of a fighter ace. In the cockpit of a small sports plane, he and his wife secretly flew to Germany. But after 1989, after many years in the U.S. and after communism fell, the Czech war hero and his wife eventually returned home. Even now, Peřina says he still feels only the deepest ties to the country of his birth. I was born in the countryside while my wife was born in the city. She never knew life in the country like I did. I love the country's soil, the earth. We never had any children, so the only roots I have are here and nowhere else.
And now Rob Cameron is here to tell us about Saturday's International Romani Day.
This year marks the 35th anniversary of the foundation of the International Romani Union, an organization designed to bring together the millions of Roma scattered around the world. In 1990, the organization decreed that April the 8th should be designated as International Day of the Roma, a day which is also being celebrated here in the Czech Republic, a country with a Roma population of some 300,000, many of whom living in squalid conditions on the margins of society. All this week, seminars, concerts and other events are being held across the country in the run-up to International Day of the Roma on Saturday. I went along to Námestí Míru, a large leafy square in the heart of Prague's Vinohrady district, where a Romani organisation called Atinganoi is holding a series of events to raise awareness of the day.
Our My name is Gabriela Hrabaňová. I'm the director of Atinganoj. It's a Roma student organization. The main aim of the organization is to put together Romani students from high school and universities to break the stereotypes and prejudice of the majority society and to show that Roma can be also teachers, lawyers, or whatever else than just supporting the stereotypes.
Now, you're here today on Námestí Míru, big square in the center of Prague, for a reason. Why are you here?
We want to show to the public that Roma has some culture. I think we are doing projects, so we want to show it to people, like to present our activities. Or Roma, which is a Roma media agency, they are printing a monthly magazine. So people can come, can see. We also will offer some food, some traditional Romani food, and some music might be here as well. So the main reason, anyway, is that the 8th of the April is the International Day of Roma. And we would like to celebrate it not just with us, but also with the people around.
International Romani Day, it's quite a new holiday, isn't it? What does it mean to you?
So for me, it's a on the first place, it's a great reason to celebrate. And it's also a thing that we are sharing all Roma on the world. So we are celebrating it here in Prague, but also in other cities in the Czech Republic, but as well as in Romania, Macedonia, or even in the United States.
You said earlier that you were going to be giving out Romani food. Tell us a bit more about that.
There are some thoughts that Roma doesn't have their traditional food, but it's a food that Roma brought to the Czech Republic from the countries they were traveling from. So we will offer it's something like a sarma that might be known in Balkan. It's a leaf filled with meat and rice.
Stuffed vine leaves, maybe.
Yeah, that might be the name for this. I don't know this in English, but so this is something that. It's made by Roma women and that's one of the most favorite meal we have.
And also there will be music as well. Huh?
Yeah, we will have a guitar and violin and some children they will dance, but today on a modern dance, and in the evening we have a concert in Matrix Prague 3, and there will be also a traditional Romani dance, but also a performance of the three bands.
How much interest do you think there is among the Czech public in an event such as the International Romani Day?
I think that this is, since you also said that this event is new, so people really don't know much about it. And it's also like within the Roma community. So that's why we would like to show it and would like to present it to not only to public like the general majority society, but also to Roma.
But let's not mince our words here, because relations between Czechs and Roma are not good. Many Czechs hate the Roma, don't they?
The general feelings are anti-gypsies. Gypsism, we said that's present here in the country, and we can see it like once Roma are going to ask for a job, or even they would like to enter in some public place as a discotheque or something like this.
And you think events like this can help sort of bring the communities closer together?
I hope. I definitely hope that.
Generally, how would you say that the situation of the Roma in this country is changing? Is it improving at all?
Unfortunately, I have to say that it's not really improving. We can see that we have 17 years after the communism here, and the situation get even worse. On one side, we have Roma, they are integrated in the society. We have more students going to the universities and more people taking serious jobs and showing that Roma can do also something else. But on the other side, we have also Roma that they are marginalized. They are now a new creation of the ghettos and the places they are just socially excluded.
As we said earlier, a number of seminars were held this week to discuss issues such as social exclusion and racism, issues which are clearly hampering efforts to bring the Romani community closer to majority white society. Atinganoj's Michal Miko is one of the organizers.
We wanted to focus this problematic in Czech Republic, that there is anti-Gypsism and Romophobia and discrimination and racism. Also, the Roma in Czech Republic are still living this time with this condition that they are discriminated, that they are also attacking by skinheads. Also, the opinion on Roma also are are showing in anti-Gypsyism that they are thinking that the Roma are smelly. All rubbish also, the Roma are good inhabitants of Czech Republic, and I'm thinking that they can be a good partner for the Czech community in Czech Republic.
This is something that people have been talking about for many years, since 1989, this problem. Do you get the feeling that anything is changing, things are getting better?
Yes, I'm thinking that there is getting better, that the Roma are not taking to special schools. They are having the education in normal school basic. More of Roma are studying the universities in Czech Republic. More of Roma are working in government. But it's not very good, because the standing of minority in Czech Republic are still also not good.
Back in Námestí Míru, Gabriela Hrabanová and her colleagues were still hard at work. In a bid to bridge the divide between Roma and Czechs, they're giving out lapel pins featuring the Roma flag, a flag of a nation of millions with no state of their own.
So this is a Romani flag, and this was Roma were agreed on the beginning of 70s in England that this will be the flag for all Roma in the world.
Describe the flag to us.
The upper part is blue, and it's blue like a sky. The lower part is green like a grass. So that means the Roma are between the sky and the ground. And in the middle there is a red wheel that's characterizing also like the traveling of Roma, but also the connection with the India, because this is a Ashok Chakra, and Ashoka was the leader, the Indian leader who put together all Indian tribes.
So we should be seeing this flag flying around Prague in the next few days, in the lead up to International Romani Day on Saturday.
Exactly.
And that's all we have time for today. On behalf of the Radio Prague crew, I'm Jan Pulkrabek, saying thank you for listening, and please tune in again.
Posloucháte Rádio Praha, vysílání Českého rozhlasu do zahraničí.
Sie empfangen Radio Prag, die Sendungen des Tschechischen Rundfunks für das Ausland.